In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Dear ones, we're given today in this rather brief gospel the central blueprint for salvation. I was thinking this week as I contemplated this gospel about my first jobs. My first jobs were working with children, mainly doing daycares, day camps, things like that. In the after-school daycare that I worked at, we would often sit with board games and play with the kids. And with the younger kids, it was really common for them to, even if they fully understood the rules, to make up the rules as they went along. And of course, they made up the rules for a very simple reason. You want to win. They wanted to win, so they would change the rules as they went. And I'd say, well, wait a minute. A minute ago, I wasn't allowed to do that. How come you're allowed to do that now? And you'd, because I can. That was usually the response, because I can. This is what I can do. If I wasn't in the mood to teach them a lesson about proper play and fair play and you know how you actually get a feeling of accomplishment when you win properly, sometimes I'd go along with it and say, well, this is strange. All these rules seem to favor you. And so before we'd play the next game, I'd say, okay, now you tell me the rules before we begin. Tell me the rules. And those rules would be very much slanted their way. If you roll this, it's really bad. But if I roll that, it's really good. You know, I get to move 10 spaces ahead. And it was all in good fun. And I thought, this is kind of the setup for today's gospel. All of these verses lead up to this statement where our Lord says, basically, if you do all of these things, if you do everything that I just told you to do, your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the ungrateful and the selfish. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Christ gives us the rules of the game ahead of time. The game's set. The rules are listed and they're very much in our favor, so much so that we're told exactly what we must do to be guaranteed a win. There's a guarantee that our reward will be great if you just do these things. So, of course, you have to ask, what's the catch? And the catch is, the rules are impossible to follow. We're given the rules, but they're impossible to follow. We're told that even sinners love those who love them, but we are called to love those who hate us. We are called to love our enemies. This is the prerequisite for a win, to love your enemies, which in human terms is impossible. It's an impossible prerequisite for salvation. It's impossible to win this game. Whenever I read this gospel, I think a lot about the book that saved me in my last parish. I've talked about it before. You know about my last parish situation. Not exactly the dream parish that you look for out of seminary. It was a parish in which people really hated me. In fact, for the first time in my life, I can say they didn't just dislike me. There were people there who hated me. Absolutely hated me. And it didn't stop at simply I can dislike you and I'll leave it at that. Rather, they would lie. They would spread rumors to the bishop, which could possibly get me defrocked. I could lose my priesthood. They were rude to my own family. To my wife, who I don't know how you could have anything against her. Having something against me, I understand. But having something against my wife, I didn't really understand. They were rather cruel to her. And I began to wonder how I should live in that parish. They weren't going to listen to anything. They didn't really want the true gospel. So what was I supposed to do there? And how was I supposed to respond? And I read the life and writings of a saint we commemorated a few weeks ago, Saint Siloan the Athenite, who we have on our back wall there, dressed in black. And Saint Siloan speaks quite a bit about this topic of love and love for enemies. And he says some pretty stark things. There are things that really pierced my heart and that really caused me to re-examine my spiritual life. He doesn't just say that it's not good if you hate your enemies and it's good if you love your enemies. Rather, he says if you hate your enemies, it's a sign that you have a demon within you. We tend to talk about possession in the church, and we think of possession as outright possession where you have no control of your faculties. But the fathers talk about how there are many different levels of possession. And as long as we're still subject to sin and we're slaves to our passions, we have, to a certain degree, a possession. And St. Siloan says that a guarantee that a demon is within us and we are possessed is if we continue to hate our enemies. And he conversely says that if we love our enemies, this is the sign that the grace of the Holy Spirit dwells within us. If you want to know whether you bear the name of Christ properly and whether you have grace within you, the test for St. Siloan was, do you love your enemies? Do you love your enemies so much so that you weep for them? That you yearn for their salvation? Do you love your enemies? It was a bit of a revelation when I read this because I realized that love of enemies does not rely on mere human effort. This isn't a try harder area of our spiritual life. Just try to love your enemies more and it'll happen. Rather, we need grace. Grace teaches us to love our enemies. It's not about simple effort. It's about a gift that is God-given. Which means the entire spiritual life is wrapped up in today's gospel. If we learn to love our enemies, it's only because we've gone through a process already. We've been working at the spiritual life and we've been trying to acquire more grace. Just trying won't do it. And if you wonder, you know, when we think about this in theory, we sit there and say, well, I think if persecution comes, if people really hate me, I think I could love them. I think I could get by. I don't think I would necessarily hate them because it remains the level of theory. But just look at examples from your life. Last time you were cut off brazenly on the highway, did you love the person who cut you off? We don't even consider them necessarily an enemy. A really good test for this is watch a pundit on cable news who gives an opinion opposite of yours and tell me, are you able to even maintain your peace, much less love that person? What about on social media when you see people post vile things about what you believe and who you are? Do you love that person or do you feel your blood boiling? There's a parishioner who suggested, I don't even know if it was a suggestion, but he posted a debate between an Orthodox and a Calvinist on YouTube. And I told him yesterday, I said, the Calvinist arguing is just a jerk. It just comes off, within the first few minutes, he comes off like an absolute jerk. Very, very full of himself, very condescending. Absolutely no respect whatsoever. And the person who posted, I told yesterday, I said, you know, I started off watching this and I went, I can't stand this guy. I don't know. It's a 2-hour thing. There's no way I could get through 2 hours. But as I kept going, that angst and that bitterness towards him changed. And it became more a bit of a compassion. And I looked at this man as, boy, this is somebody who's really sick. Who's really beset by his own passions, who has no conception about how far he is from a holy path. And I felt a great deal of pity for him. I felt really bad for him. But then I listened a few more minutes and it turned right back to bitterness and anger. So that didn't last too long. It's really easy to fall back into those areas. And I thought, well, this guy isn't even aiming what he's saying at me. If I can't have love for him, what happens when these things will be aimed my way? Somebody, the person he was debating was an Orthodox deacon, and someone in the comments posted, this wasn't a debate, This was a 2-hour test of this deacon's ability to be patient and loving. It was. We're told in the scriptures that the sign of the last times is that the love of many will grow cold. And I think that's a perfect description of the world we live in today. The love of many has grown cold. But we're told that we are to love those who hate us, to love our enemies without any qualification whatsoever. Christ doesn't say, love your enemies until they overwhelm you and the entire culture is against you and things just go from bad to worse every single day and people hate Christianity and they mock Christianity in media, on TV, in movies. He doesn't give the qualification. In fact, this world is an opportunity for us. In a world where love, true love, is a goal, and it isn't just given false lip service like today, in a world where love is a true goal, to stand out in our love is more difficult. But the world we live in today is an opportunity to reveal the greatness of Christian love and the peace it brings to our hearts. It is so lacking in the world around us that today it is easier than ever to be a beacon of that love, to stand out and to stand as a symbol of something that transcends this fallen world. We have an opportunity. But again, how do we learn to love? It's not something we can just do by effort alone. It's something that is gained by growing closer to Christ. This is why I say that the entire spiritual life is wrapped up in this commandment to love your enemies. I was reading this past week. We sent out that list of books. 27 books or so. I hope that you printed that out or saved it and that you're beginning that list. One book a month. It's not too much. And there are a few books in there that I had read the majority of, but I never actually finished. And so I decided to read through all the way. And I picked up the Discourses of Abba Dorotheos, one of the great desert fathers. He was a disciple of St. John. These two great saints, Barsanuthes and John, would write letters back and forth. And the cell attendant for John was Dorotheos, who learned a great deal from him and talks about some of his counsels in this book. It's honestly one of the best books I've ever read. One of the best books I've ever read. You think, well, this is, 4th and 5th century wisdom from a desert father. How much could this relate to us? Believe me, it is all so relatable. It's so relatable, and it absolutely sets me on fire for prayer. I love this book so much. And we'll get some copies for the bookstore. There's a newer translation out that I want to get, and I need to find out if I can get a discount on it for the bookstore, but we'll get some copies. I'll get quite a few. In one of the sections, Abba Dorotheos, he uses quite a lot of imagery to explain difficult spiritual topics. And he explains this very thing that I'm talking about today with the image of a wheel or a circle. He says, draw a circle on the ground and then make a mark right in the center. And that center is God. Now draw a line, or a bunch of lines, like spokes on a wheel, from the center to the outside, all over the place. And says, you exist on one of these lines. And these other spokes, these are other people. Now notice that as you grow closer to the center, you also get closer to the other lines. In other words, as we grow closer to God and learn to love God more, we grow in our love for our neighbor. And the further we go from God, the more alienated we are from our neighbor. It's easier to hate our neighbor when we have not yet learned to love God. But the more we learn to love God, the more we love one another, the more we seek one another's salvation, and the more we can take those who hate us and see them not as the perpetrators of crimes against us, but as the victims of the machinations of the demons. Just as we wouldn't, one modern saint said, just as we wouldn't go into a hospital and scream at the cancer patients, so it's wrong to blame those who are afflicted by spiritual illnesses, even if that illness takes the form of hatred towards us. What this means for us is that the ascetic life, which is absolutely necessary in order to learn to love God more, the ascetic life is essential to fulfilling the precepts given by Christ in the gospel today. There is not a single saint of the church who will tell you otherwise. What is a saint? A saint is one who has traveled the path successfully, who has reached the destination and can tell us how to do the same. You will not find a single saint who denies the necessity and the beauty and joy of asceticism. Why do we need asceticism? Because through asceticism, we learn to stop loving ourselves so much. If we love ourselves, there's no room for the love of God. If we learn to get rid of that love for self, if we deny ourselves in sacrificial acts, in podvigs, the Russian word for it, in the ascetic acts that the church calls us to, there's more room for the love of Christ. We're filled with grace. We learn to love Christ, and through that, we love our neighbor. In other words, if we're going to live the spiritual life, if we're going to try to follow these rules that Christ sets for us, we cannot be content with the way our hearts already are. There's no greater poison in the spiritual life than being content with where you are. I spoke last night a little bit about the fact that we need to live active spiritual lives. It's not enough just to sit in the way. This is the ancient name for Christianity, was simply the way. You don't go walk on the path and sit down and say, okay, I'm there. We don't stop at baptism and say, well, I'm an Orthodox Christian now. That's all I need to do. No, we step forward with purpose. We have a goal, we have a destination, and we walk towards it. We cannot be content to just stay where we are in the spiritual life. In fact, I would say that within the peace and joy of Christianity, this is the other defining factor. A constant discontent with our current state. We're never comfortable just being as we are. We always want to grow and move forward. Dear ones, the rules of the game and the path of winning has been set before us. It's not secret. It's not hidden. We can't act surprised when we stand before Christ in judgment. I didn't know. We know. He told us. It's right there in front of us. The way to win salvation, the way to gain the rewards that He sets for us, is the love of those who hate us. And the only way to do that is to have that virtue be God-taught by making room for Him within our hearts through the ascetic life. Dear ones, move forward with purpose. Take every single day and ask how I can move forward a little bit in love and humility. Every single day. Do not be content just with the name Christian. Be content only when your heart is being reformed every single day. If you don't know how to do that, talk to myself. Talk to Father Justin. Confess once a month. Keep coming. Keep driving forward. Keep pushing. Read those books that we sent out. See what the goal looks like. See how the saints trod the path before us and showed us the way. But most of all, if you want to make sure you're progressing, don't try to take steps forward with bitterness, with resentment. We can't be drudging forward without joy. Rather, know that Christ has offered these words to us because He desires our salvation. He desires that we move forward. He desires that we reach the goal. Everything is set before us because Christ is trying to tip the scales in our favor. Just like those kids who I played games with, He tries to set the rules in our favor. He shows us the way forward. So push forward, but push forward with joy, with lightness of heart, and with love. And win the crown. May Christ bless us on our journey. May we have the intercessions of the Theotokos, of our patrons, Saints Peter and Paul, of our personal patrons, of our guardian angels, and of all the saints. Amen.